Ed and Shirley, and I'm to say that I really enjoy that. The picture by Dr. Harris and also by Dr. Girl. Now the things that they said were very deep. And it makes me sometimes I think like this. It isn't no wonder that so many because of the fact that they haven't been taught any of the things that we talk about much. And consequently, you're out into the more depths of the things in the schools than you are in churches where they go. They don't go into much of the details which you go into. So, consequently, the things that are said here, sitting on these hard chairs and all, you get restless. Because there's room, you don't, people don't know anything about what you're talking about. All that Dr. Grove said and all that Dr. Harris said was speaking in tongues. He wasn't talking about lying, he was talking about then the subject of salvation is Israel, and neither one of them never said nothing about it. And yet they were on the surface. Now I'm talking about how the other fellow would look at it. And to think that none of that had nothing to do with the subject. As I remember years ago, possibility about it, I was engrossed with prayer at that meeting on Diamond Avenue. They had a church there. And, it was some 3 or 4 years after we had started in school. This was called the Triumph Church of the New Age. And we had just ministered that from the Church of God and then the Triumph Church of the New Age. Greg Wheeler was the pastor at that time, President Greg Wheeler. And so the subject come up about the questions that were asking. I had this child along with me, and so the man, the preacher from over at the Church of God asked me a question, and I went back to Adam to explain his question, and as I was explaining, he threw up his hand and said, stay on the subject. And a lady that was sitting there that was with the at the church, she looked around and she said, well, that's what he's talking about. So I said that to say this. And in a group of people that haven't had any more training in the reality of God, why, all of us talk off of the subject. We are never on it. Because the kind of mind and that doesn't work together. Now I'm going to show you a few things here. I've got this down on a piece of paper. My daughter here went down to the library and we were compiling some books and all, information from books, from the Roman Catholic Church. Brother Gates and his wife bought some books, and we were making a research into Catholicism, something they knew something about. See, we can figure all around here, but they wouldn't know anything at all about it. So now, since Pope John is making an effort to do what you'd call reunite Christendom. And to get the folks back in the church. So, that has to do with our subject, the salvation of Israel. Okay? Now, if you're real wise and real smart, spiritually wise and smart, you keep your eye on that thing for this reason why. Although you have seen us getting in trouble here about man, as Dr. Grove said, by being his own free moral agent and do everything according to his own will, and you've seen that go down. But now if you look at Pharaoh, that's over in the book, ain't that in Scripture? Pharaoh, did God harden his heart? See, and that's son of perdition all the way through his heart. And he didn't only pardon Pharaoh's heart, I'm going to do that now. But he also pardoned Egyptian's heart, which we would say this way, to express in more modern language, we would say that the folks were crying. That's the way we put it. And now that is what has happened. All over the world, the people are either listening to the inner voice of God in their hearts and such kind of everybody has it. And as much so as you have a negative, you have a positive in everybody. That small voice that sometimes when you would do something say, that you shouldn't do, and sometimes, don't do that, see? You understand? And then it all goes in on to it, see? And so there you are, you see. And so if you don't listen to that God part of you, why then, learn what it is and listen to that. Why then, you're pretty much drunk. You know what I'm talking about? So now, in this piece of paper, I've got these things down. I had it in there for quite some time. I want to show you so that you can see. Now we're talking, and Dr. has talked about here, about the pomegranates and so forth and so on. They were in the interior of that temple. Now everybody knows a little something about Solomon's temple, whether or not they are Jews, Catholics, or Protestants. Is that right? I'm speaking collectively, of course. They know a little something about it. And to show you unless you have some eyes of your understanding, I don't mean physical eyes in your head, then you wouldn't discern a lot of things that goes on, and it'll show you just how about the individual's will. Now I've tried to show you from time to time that all things work according to the purpose of God. See? I showed you that. Now one day when the apostles were up in the building, up in the temple, now the temple was torn down after it stood there 33 years. She sent, went up from Egypt. You might think because the children of Israel had escaped here and went out into the wilderness here, and they were under the new government, that is the Ten Commandments. And then they passed on through the River Jordan and went into Canaan's land and built Solomon's temple up there. Now Saul reigned first 40 years. David reigned 40 years. That's 80 years, see? Right? Mm-hmm. And then Solomon, during his reign, the first part of his reign, he built that temple and it stood there 33 years. And shortly after Solomon died, see, then Shishak went up from Egypt and tore that temple down, plundered it, cleared to the ground. Did you know that? Yep, that's what happened. So they're that involved, the Egyptians even after they had to dedicate the temple. Tore it down. Then the temple was rebuilt again. And then it was razed again. And the last time, which was the third time, it was 46 years he started to build, which is called Herod's Temple. And the other was Zerubbabel. We call it Zerubbabel because they were instrumental in seeing that the temple was put back again. But the last time, it started 16 and a half years before the birth of Christ. And when he got down to his, where he get it into his ministry, by then it had been 46 years in the building. And then 3 years in the building, 46 and 349. So then that was the last week of Daniel's prophecy. See, that the Christ dying and raising from the dead again was the building of that temple again. Well, now the boys one day, before he died, they were up there in the temple, Peter and the disciples. And so as they came outside of the temple and they looked at it, with decorated with all of the precious stones. Of course, everything that was in the original temple that Solomon built was not in the last temple that carried it. The Ark of the Covenant was not there. Not there. And they hadn't finished building it yet either. It's the for that matter, have complete, in fact, murder in their dignity. But what they did have of it up there was torn down. Now, when the boys was out looking at it, and they said, it certainly is a beautiful place, and all lack of that, and they was admiring the temple, and Jesus said to them, there shall not be one stone left upon top of another that shall not be thrown down. And then that was the condition that that temple would come down. Then in Catholicism, they claim Jesus was talking to Peter in the 16th chapter of Matthew upon this rock. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do they say I am? And they answered and said that some say it is Jeremiah, but some of the other prophets have risen. And so he said, with whom do you say I am? Peter answered up and said, I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was in Philippi and Caesarea at that time. And so he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All their lives are maybe pretty much of those words from the Christians. Isn't that right? And of course, there the Roman Catholics, they say that Peter was that rock upon which Christ built his church. You know that? And that's why they have Peter in the capacity of being there. Now, let me show you something. Up here in Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered up Isaac, right in that spot, to David, put a rock there, made an offer there. And Martin, he said that that was the place where the house of the Lord had already shown him where to build that house. And then, as you looked into that, and go to dig into it, if you want to, you can dig up some dead bones now and get you over there and hurry. You can go over that and look, and you will find that where that temple stood, there is a great big rock there. Rock formation, see, that temple rested upon with the figure of that rock that Christ was talking about in Caesarea. Now you wouldn't catch that one at all. Just miss it in its entirety. Now, there's something else I want to tell you about that temple while I'm in it. And that is this. After that they had built it and was torn down the third time, when Solomon dedicated, don't forget it, I told you this, that he said the heaven of heavens cannot contain it. Now, this first, second, and third heaven, that's all he said. The heaven of heavens cannot contain it. Then the prophets, see, those temples coming down and being put up again. In the last days of his ministry, Christ went into the temple and spoke to the carnal-minded Pharisees and the scribes that there in the temple, the political preachers, knowing that they were dead from the fall of Adam. And time comes for him to be crucified. Don't nobody like to be, said nothing. See what I'm talking about? Just like they don't want me to get up now and talk about the ministers and the preachers and how dumb and ignorant we are. You see what I'm talking about? And we don't know what we're talking about. They don't like me to talk like that. See? Then if I try to tell you some of the spiritual things, then they'll say, well, who does he think he is? What do you think has happened to all these people all down through the ages here? He must think he's smart, and ain't nobody got no sense with him. Now, that's the same thing that Christ did when he went up there in the temple the last time. Now, why didn't he get in trouble? From time to time, all the rest of the time, see, that he was up there, he said, now, I didn't come to call the righteous to the temple, but I come to seek and to save that which is lost, knowing everything was lost back there in heaven. In heaven, as Paul put it, all that. He was in Christ, shall all be made alive. And he got along. Until it come time for him to be crucified. Then when it come time for him to be crucified, he went up there in that temple. And he told the Sanhedrin to come. He said, you hypocrite. You servant. See? You generation of blindness. See? Look back in the garden. See? You generation of blindness. How can he escape the damnation of the over his word? See? You hypocrite. See? Ain't that what he said? That you won't go in yourself. And you won't let them hear it in, though. And you bind them with heavy burdens. And you wouldn't live. Mother, it was your little thing. They had all kinds of traditions, things that they traveled with, see? They had the Talmud. You know what the Talmud is? You know what the Mishnah is? Their idea of interpretation, just like your commentators, see, of the law, so forth and so on. See, and that was what they went by, see. That was their commentator, or their instructions in the scripture. And he said those things to them. Well, now, he's fixing to get in trouble, decided him to die. And up there talking before them, like that, it wasn't long before they had him hanging right out there on the street. He knew that was what he was going to do. But he was telling the truth. So it was all dead from the fall of Adam. But they just didn't like the idea of being told about. See what I'm talking about? That's where a son of mine is. Don't want to tell them about. And when he spoke his last sermon up there in the temple, he went out. And this is what he said. Behold, your house. All before that, he called it. Don't you make my father's house a den of thieves when he was up there selling hot and turtle doves and sacrificial feasts for all. See? And overturned the tables of the money changers, took his car and drove him out of there, see? Out there in the court, the Gentiles, from the outside court, see? And said, Joseph said, now don't make my father's house a den of thieves, the money changers. Which we're trying to learn now in the science of mine. How to reestablish that thing. Be established and prosecute. But nevertheless, that's what he said to us. Behold, your house is left unto you dead. Now they didn't get that temple thing. And as the prophet spoke of it, knowing through the vision and revelation that they would not. He said, where is the house that ye build unto me? See, Solomon, even when he's dedicated, he called himself dedicated in the temple out there, see? You understand? Now here comes the prophet saying, where is the house that ye build unto me? See, so he continues to come down and speak to him in his repetition. Because the fact, there hasn't been a house, see, a physical house, in its reality, that any man on earth has ever built. Anytime, they were all figures, you understand what? And not the real thing. Just like when he made the promise to Abraham, that in his seed, which is Christ, he would bless all the families of the earth. Now, our mind is so powerful that we couldn't see that promise right there. You understand? And just like we can't see the real house that Dr. Gross is talking about. We're building up a spiritual house. Now, knowing those things, understanding those things, why then, Jesus, when the boys were standing out there adoring so much, with the carnal mind and thinking of the restoration of Israel or restoring it back to the place where it flourished in the days of Solomon and in the days of David. You see what it sounds like? He said to them, he said, now, there shall not be one stone left upon top of another that shall not be thrown down. Okay. Now you what? So that thing goes clear on back to the greater and more perfect tabernacle and Satan operating in it, which is the universe. Now what? You look. Now, here, you know that in A.D. 70, pagan Rome, let's call it pagan Rome, unto Titus. Now you must, when come up to Jerusalem with an army in AD 70, and tore that temple down, ran it completely to the ground, tore it all to pieces. Fulfilling the prediction of Christ. It had to come down because his resurrection is a spiritual body. The physical had to come down. Do you see that now? Now, Dr. Harris told you the other night about the way that temple was constructed. We took this off now, and Dr. Gross has got this on here. It's wet. See, we've not yet put some kind of a wall around it. But this crown on that, if you notice, it looks just like a chair there. See? Now, God raised up Solomon to sit, to build that temple. And Christ raised us to sit upon the throne of his father David. And this is kind of constructed, this Jackson and Boaz here. See? It's constructed like a chair. See, the temple. And the oracle and all, see? Just like the back of the chair here, see? With, and the king was sitting on that overlaid with gold, was torn that crown. See? And to go in the door there, see? And the oracle and so forth and the boat, you see? By then, you would have the holy place in the most holy. See? Around the wall. And the inside of the most holy place were these pomegranates and so forth and so on. And those angelic faces, I can't draw them. I can say about them. You look up here, you can see one that in the figure that I can find it to draw it. You look at that, they draw it in that. It's all around the wall. Those angelic figures sitting all around the wall, those pomegranates, the dark hair, those flowers, and so forth. Well, you say, what's that got to do with the this over here? Well, the pagan Rome tore the temple down. And then Papal Rome constructed it in the Vatican. Not in Jerusalem now, but over here in Rome. In other words, it was torn down over here in Jerusalem. See? And moved over here. See, the Vatican. You see that now? Moved over there. Tore it down one way. Now, down on the Isle of Patmos out here, when he was just looking in his vision, he said he saw no temple there, because the Lord God and the man was the temple. See? So then him carrying it down here in Jerusalem, the pagan carrying it down here in Jerusalem, and moving it over in Rome. See? They just tore down the natural, the physical, see, in Jerusalem. Which was kind of work to Jerusalem above, and moved it over here in Rome. Pagan Rome tore it down. I mean, the pagan tore it down and moved it over here. Now, in our book, we'll show you where this paganism, this beast riding about the sea and Satan transfiguring over in the red dragon and the leather beast, we'll show you how that's done in the 666. And all of them, which has to come all the way down through the Garden of Eden, from the Garden of Eden on down. Well, now you think, wouldn't think too much about that. Oh, yes, I'm going back to this. That's what I'm on my way to now. Yes, indeed, I'm on my way, see. Now, let me see if I can show you how to look there and bring out some of it. These all new things. See, if we had heard some of this when we was in church. See? Well, we didn't have much further crowd to think of that. Now, in a book, so that you can see, I put the glasses on, got a script with me this time. See? And this book is entitled The Vatican. It's by Ann Cunningham, with photographs by David Seymour. It says in that book, I got everything with the page number on it. You know, I'm going to have to get the book, get the page number out there. See? It says the present church, meaning St. Peter, built in 120 years between 1506, when the architect, B-R-A-M-A-N-T-E, I want you to know who it was, turned in his complete plan and blueprint. And 1626, when it was finally dedicated by Herbert the Eighth, that's for Herbert, is the largest Christian church in the world. You see that? Now, not the first one had ever given it any thought at all. Now, that temple, Solomon's Temple, as we call it, or that was built up there in Jesus' time, it said, destroy this temple, and I'll build it again in 3 days. Isn't that right? And his body, as you have heard me say, him being the seed of Abraham, his body, God, dwells within him. So then Daniel prophesied, he said, how long would it be until the sanctuary is ready? And he said, unto 2,300 days. Is that right? And if you don't think that's right, I'll read it. And Daniel over there. See, 91. Now, what we're talking about here deals with uncircumcision and circumcision. It deals with the Jew, and it deals with the Gentile. You see that now? It deals with this carnal mind, this papacy. You understand? And it's, or in other words, it deals with paganism, and Satan transformed into an angel of light, the same old devil that was about to end the Garden of Eden. You understand? Same one. Incarnated in a man, trying to take the place of God and exalting himself on earth. See? And fooling everybody but the elect of God. Now you watch the figure. Now I read it just off of here. Now, it says here that, I read it again. The present church, see? And it doesn't say it. You have to fill that in St. Peter's there. See? And I'll be back into these pomegranates like that. It was on the walls around. So there's something that fits right into that. Then it'll go back into the creed and show you that back and all, see, and how it is here. I'll put it on the board so you can look at it. See? Now it was begun to be built in 1506. This is AD. And it was finished in 1626. Now that's the home figure for it. Now let me show you. Now you take 1626. And then you take 1506. And subtract one from the other. What do you have? You have 120. Is that right? That's 120 years. That's what it says right on the paper. I read it. And I mean, this is copied out of the book. The present church, built in 120 years between 1506, when the architect Raymond D. turned in his completed plan and blueprint, and in 1626, when it was finally dedicated by Urban VIII, is the largest Christian church in the world. And I just forgot to get the page number off of which was on there. See? Now, that's 120 years. Now, they were 120 years building back. See? Just like Noah was 120 years building Noah's ark to save their people. They were 120 years building them. to lose them. Did you see that now? That is my own biggest thought. See? I didn't have nothing to do with it. Didn't go get the bus. You come out of the North Angeles public library. See? Now, do you see that? Now, what happened? See? Noah built that ark according to the divine specification in the end of the Antediluvian Age to bring the people from there over into the post-Diluvian Age. Do you see what I'm talking about? That's under the law. Show you what I mean. See, here's an Antediluvian and 1656, Noah 120 years building the ark there, and this is the flood here. See? And then this is the pulpit over here. See, now Noah built the ark to bring over here. Now here comes Christ and he under this is here to bring the people over here. See, and so that's tore down the temple. See, and that means that is to say the temple of his body. Well, Curtis went up there and tore the temple down and moved it over and was 120 years in the end of this age, building up something to destroy the lives of the people. Whereas, do you understand? Have you seen through that now? Now, there isn't anybody going to understand and see that thing but to see the Abraham, according to the prophet. Now, let's show you another. Now, you see that? Now, you remember I mentioned here about the 2300 days in the sanctuary of Ukraine. You remember? All right, let's see how we come out here with this. See this 1626? Don't forget. Well, let's go ahead and get over here and throw them at the bottom. See? Here, this is 1959. You're just taking things from me. See, 1959. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now then, if you take 33 off of it, see, then you have 1926. You say all you want to. And it's your free will, too. Now, if you take the 1926, now you see this 1926 to this 1926, or if you want to make 33 and a half, then you do this. You can still have the same thing. If you want to make this 1960, the reason why is because 40 more years will make it up to 2000. Then 33 and a half gets you 34. And you still have 1926. Why is it 34? A covenant, a new covenant, is not a force until after, or no covenant is a force until after men are dead. A testament is a force after men are dead. Now you see that? So then it was after the crucifixion of Christ that the covenant become of effect on the day of Pentecost. See it right there? Do you see that now? Now, if you take your 1926, I just want to show you so you can understand what I'm talking about. 1926. Now, if you take your 1626, and then you have 300. Now that's 300, so you run around here and cut it off right there. Which means the Christ was crucified on Friday, and made him build his new tomb in the 300th part of that. Next day he rose from the dead, according to Daniel's prophecy. You follow me now? So then it was, see, 300 years from the time. See, from here. See, 300 years. See, from here to there. They dedicated the thing. But this 300, now it took seven. Let me put the 300 over here. You know what it is now. So now it took 700 more. See, here. 700 more years to make 3,000 years or three whole days times one day to the the Lord has 1,000 years. But this is going down. See, Christ is coming up and this is going down to be the next 1,000. So the 700 goes the other way. See? Do you see Christ? 1 billion, 1 million, see? Now, it's pretty powerful. It's a pretty bad thing when you stop to think. Now, did God give instructions, specifications, and so know how to build that up? Lower decks, upper decks, and so forth and so on. To save the people in. And yet, the devil goes up to Jerusalem. You see what I'm talking about? Same devil. See, Jesus knew it had to happen. Tore the temple down and moved it over to Rome. See? Set it back up to lose the people in. Jerusalem above is the eternal city, not Rome beneath. And so they call Rome beneath the eternal city. Now that's the devil moving. Figured his body of Christ and moving him around any time we want. Move throne, temple, and all. Did it? Stand down one place. Now, if he wasn't smart, he couldn't see that. See? Now, he moved it off of a rock here. And it's in the mountain here. Now, if you go and look and see where they put the Vatican at, you'll find it down on the flat surface. Ground in the field here. Did it? And I could go and look at it. They just take the pictures and all and look at it, and they tried their best to make it as near as they possibly could a picture of a Vatican like the temple. Now, Dr. Clare told you about the interior. Now I want to tell you about the interior of the Vatican. I showed them the picture. I'm going to tell you about the interior of the temple. The common branch and angel figures inside of Solomon's temple. Now, in the inside of the Vatican. Now, you know anything about what's in there? Michael. Michelangelo painted in that. That all around the wall. Step around the wall. God in pictures creating the physical heavens and earth. See? And everybody talks about how beautiful and all Michelangelo's paintings were. Now the temple and all is physical. And them painting the physical creation inside of the Vatican, moving it from Jerusalem, you understand, down in Rome, and painting the interior of that showed that they were in the old creation and not in the new creation, or not in the real seed of Abraham. That's why if any man wishes to be or the finality of this thing, well then he shall receive in his forehead and in his hand. See, the mark of the beast and the shell drink with the wine of the wrath poured out of the cup. God's indignation tormented him. Fire, day and night. I want to emphasize that day and night. For this reason, why? Because on the other side of the veil, John said there was no night there. Now, if there's no night there, on the other side of the veil, watch this point. See, the day and night's going on now, isn't that right? Which means right now, day and night, see, they don't have no peace. You understand? And day and night, see, rolling, trying to accumulate enough, see, credit. By repetition of the and worship of the Virgin Mary, they during their lifetime to get them out of purgatory. So they don't have no rest day and night. And they're tormented in the presence of God and of His Holy Angels. And you are deceived of Israel for that injustice by incarnated in these things. You know, as long as you're in the material, as long as you're in the natural, everybody makes no difference who they are. See, they're tormented. See, and everything that they talk about can safely both times happen. They call the fact the Protestantism comes right out of Catholicism. Or in other words, the Catholicism is the mother of heart. Although that heart is guilty. That's why the 17th chapter of Revelation. Come out of her, my feet, that you be not partakers of her sin, and receive of her place. That one represents, as Sarah was back there, the confusion. And in the confusion of between Protestantism, Catholicism, and other heathen religions, you understand, God is saying to you, the true people of God, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and receive of her place. That's the reason why so many of the different churches, as you hear them talk from time to time, they jump up and they say this.